This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi, my name's Neil. I'm an OTI member. Most of my adult life, I've been sober curious or looking to go AF or doing stints of going alcohol free, but they would never stick. I think the reason they didn't stick was because there was lack of community or peer support. So once I found out about OTI and the community, I had to join straight away. Joining the OTI community has been the best alcohol free decision I've ever made. It's such a fun, safe space to share your alcohol free wins. There's always someone to give advice or celebrate with you. So if you're sober curious, come and join the fun at OTI. You won't regret it. It's a game changer.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Welcome to this week's episode of Over the Influence. It's great to have you listening. Thank you so much. I should have checked this with Ben before we started recording today. If you stopped drinking alcohol in January, Ben, what would it be if that was your start date? Is it well and truly now over 100 days?
Because well and truly.
We seem to have had
well
a flurry of Over the Influence, we call them telegrams, that they're really no expense spent postcards at the moment, of loads of people hitting that milestone. And I just wondered if it coincided with the start of the new year. Probably, or there or thereabouts.
There you go. Glad you prepared as always.
You're more than welcome. My name's Sharon Hartley, and I live in Lancashire in the northwest of England. In a couple of months' time, I'll actually be 6 years alcohol-free, which is bonkers. It's gone so fast. It doesn't seem 2 minutes ago since I was saying 5 years. Racking up the days, it's really good. Best decision I ever made in my life. And you know, one of the things, Ben, that really helped me in the early days of stopping drinking were alcohol-free alternatives. Just thought
funny you say that.
I'd get that
Sharon.
In there before we before we go any further. I'm 50 years old. I drank too much, too quickly, too often, and now I don't. And it's really good. Ben Anderson, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thank you. I'm Ben, I'm 35. I live in Liverpool with my wife, Jem, two stepkids, Alfie and Millie, and baby Leo, who's 20 months. I'll be 4 years alcohol-free next month. And for me, removing alcohol was a game changer. You know, I didn't think I needed to remove alcohol completely from my life. I was going to have a three-month break, but three then turned into six turned into 12. And then on day 366, I looked back on a year and thought, you know what? I'm a better person all round. You know, my colleagues think I'm doing really well at work. Jem thinks I'm being a really great husband. I'm being a really great dad to the kids. And, you know, for me, Sharon, this is a new one. I tested out on you this week and you liked it.
Hang on, it needs a pregnant pause. Okay. Wait, this is...
Ellie, I like to roll out a few, like, hopefully memorable phrases. But for me, fulfilling my potential was more important than refilling my glass.
It's just the best saying. It's just so good.
There you go.
It's so good.
There you go.
Mike, I love Rob. That. Ben, just give us that again before we start chatting to Ellie.
For me, Sharon, fulfilling my potential was more important than refilling my glass.
And there, it's a 10 out of 10. It's on my quotes board.
DM.
I love that.
But you know what? This is a special episode today. As you know, we like to talk to people who, you know, all sorts of kind of aspects of alcohol-free life. We occasionally do specials, and this is one of those, because today it's the alcohol-free drinks special of Over the Influence, because we're talking to the fabulous Ellie Webb, founder of Kalenyo Drinks. Ellie, hi, welcome to the chaos that is Over the Influence.
Thank you for the wonderful intro and for having me. And I feel honoured to be a special guest for the special episode. How nice is that?
You're more than welcome. You're more than welcome. It's so, so good to have you here. And you know what, Ben, when you said that then about this being a special episode, because we haven't done this before, actually, I don't think we've spoken to anybody in the alcohol-free drinks industry. So dead excited to talk all things AF drinks. I mean, we are in the UK, aren't we? At the moment, my heating is on. Okay, so despite the fact that it's June, Ellie, we are heading to the summer months. So really, it feels like no better time, Ben, to be talking about the whole alcohol-free drinks industry.
It does, because Ellie, we must say thank you, first of all, because you sent us, I mean, we thought it might be a few cans of Caleño, because you've got the pina colada Caleño flavour, you've got the mojito, and he said, oh, I'll send you a few cans. Sharon went, oh, send it to Ben's work address rather than his home address. They buzzed me up and they went, there's a delivery here for you. I was like, right, you should come downstairs. People were wheeling them in on crates, Ellie. You sent us that many cans of Caleño. So thank you, because we were drinking them at the bottom of Snowdon when we completed our Snowdon trek. We'll be taking them to Ben Nevis as well. I think, you know, it's important to say, Ellie, at this point that not everybody likes alcohol-free drinks. For me and Shaz personally, they're a really good part of our AF toolkit. But let's start with the story. So what is the story of Caleño? It was founded in 2019, so it's 5 years, nearly 5 years old now. Why did you decide to start an alcohol-free drinks business?
Yeah, just, I think over now. I think we're over the 5 year. I sort of stopped counting. But so I decided to start in 2019. I think it was that typical. I mean, when you talk to different entrepreneurs in different industries, normally there's some kind of light bulb moment, or there's a sort of itch that you need to scratch, or there's, you know, something going on in your life. And for me, I was working in the world of alcohol, so I was sort of exposed to alcohol quite a bit, and wanted to take a break, and really struggled when I did do that to actually find something that I wanted to drink that felt grown up and that made me feel like I was included and part of, you know, going to the pub. And I didn't just want to stay at home. You know, I think I was in my late 20s. I was probably 26, 27 at the time. And I can remember vividly one evening being out with my friends at a bar. It was in Bristol. It was called the Golden Lion, maybe. Anyway, any Bristol listeners out there might have. It's a music venue. And we'd gone. It was a really fun night. Someone had gone to the bar to order some drinks. And gin was a big boom at the time. So lots of gin and tonics, beers ordered. And then it got to me. I was like, I don't know what to have. So I panicked and I think I ordered a Diet Coke. And there's only so many Diet Cokes you can have in one evening. So I got to number two, and I thought, do you know what? I'd really love to be drinking what everyone else is drinking, like, you know, a G&T or a cocktail or a beer, but just without the alcohol. I don't need it. I don't particularly want it. I can have fun without it. And it just didn't exist. It wasn't available. And if you asked the barman at the time, what have you got that's alcohol free, he'd normally point you towards, oh, we've, you know, I've so many people, you know, when I've gone to a barman and said, what have you got alcohol for intake? Oh, we've got water. That joke got old quite quickly. So it was normally OJ, J2Os, cordials. There's nothing wrong with those drinks. But when you want something that's, I don't know, a little bit more grown up, I wanted something different. So it's kind of where it started. And I kept coming back to this. I was working in the drinks industry at the time. I felt personally, the industry was very alcohol focused, and there wasn't really anything exciting happening in the non-alcoholic space, particularly on the kind of more premium side. So I just had this little inkling of an idea and thought, I wonder whether I could create something that could be used to create a cocktail. You know, I was really into different cocktails and making them and the recipes. And, you know, when you're in that world, you kind of get quite into it. I really wanted to create something that I could drink with my friends that felt grown up, that I could use as part of a cocktail recipe. And so I set out in earnest, and I'd never done anything like this before. I'd worked in marketing for a drinks company. And then before that, I think I worked for a design agency. So I was job number two. And then suddenly I had this idea to create something. Started doing research in it to find out what was out there. I think I came across Beck's Blue. Oh, and actually Seedlip was around at the time. I did come across them when I was doing some Googling. So I thought, okay, so there's stuff out there that's alcohol free. Must be possible, because, you know, I didn't even know if I could create something that tasted good, to be honest. Like, it needed to be quite complex, have the depth of flavor, work with a tonic in a mixer, still stand up in a cocktail. So there were all these things that needed to happen. And I kind of started my journey from there, really. And then sort of shortly later traveled over to Colombia, which incidentally is where a lot of the inspiration for the brand ended up coming from. So the name is Caleño. That's actually named after a city called Cali, which is where a lot of my family are from. Everyone goes there to dance, have fun. It's a really, really vibrant city. And actually, a lot of the ingredients that we ended up using in the distillations are things like coconuts, pineapples, papayas, inca berries, limes, really different, diverse, tropical, exotic ingredients. And I just wanted it to be different, which is why the bottles are so colourful. You know, they stand out when they're on shelf, and that's what I wanted. I didn't want anyone to feel ashamed or belittled because they were asking or looking for an alcohol-free option. So that was the vision from the very start. And I think, you know, this trip a couple of months later actually just helped me a lot with inspiration for what to do next. And I'd never started a business before or run a brand, but it was exciting. I think this is 2019 was when I launched. 2017 was when I had the idea. And it was really the kind of the beginning of the alcohol-free drinks industry starting to emerge. You know, at this point, if I talked to colleagues about, you know, if I told them I was creating something alcohol-free, they probably would have thought I was nuts. Like, it was a weird time. It wasn't as accepted as it is today. And we've come a long, long way in that time. I've seen it from where you know, you're weird if you're not drinking alcohol, to now it's like, you know, we're sort of heading in the direction of, you know, smoking, tobacco in some ways. I draw a lot of parallels with that. And cultural nuances don't happen overnight. They do take years and sometimes decades. So, yeah, it's been exciting to be part of that journey.
This is brilliant.
It's so good. I love hearing it. Like, you know, for me, it's interesting because it's alcohol-free, but I also love the fact, you know, you're an entrepreneur and this is something that you had the idea, you spotted a gap, and you went for it, you took the risk. And I absolutely love that, Ellie. I'm just, while you've been talking, I've been scrolling through our forum, the Over the Influence forum that we've got on the app, because alcohol-free drinks, as we said, they're not for everybody, but for a growing number of people, they do find them really, really useful for exactly what you've said. You know, I'm going out, I've got that first social occasion, I've got the wedding. I mean, I drank, what was it, Shaz, at the wedding? We had LA Brewery kombucha at my wedding last year.
Lovely.
Instead of champagne. And it's so, I'm scrolling through the forum because one of the, you know, we get lots of people in here celebrating milestones, but another thing that people love to do is to recommend alcohol-free drinks. And I'm just looking through, and we've got Caitlin in Canada. We've seen that she's got a new alcohol-free bar in her town called Sober Market, full of different alcohol-free drinks. Nicholas suggesting to me Accenture Green. I don't know what that is. You know, there's loads of different brands out there now. As an entrepreneur, has it been odd to be in a market that's exploded so quickly, in the sense that there's a huge opportunity there, but whereas when you were going in and doing this and you're in that bar in Bristol, there weren't that many options.
Yeah.
Now it does feel like quite the opposite. It feels like you're in quite a crowded marketplace.
Oh my God, yeah, it's so crowded now. I mean, food and drink has always been one of the more competitive industries, I would say. It's a fun, it's an exciting industry. There's always lots of innovation. But gosh, yeah, when I started, I can count on one hand the amount of brands that were in the kind of non-alcoholic spirit space, honestly. Whereas now it's thousands, literally thousands globally. And also, weirdly, a lot of the innovation emerged from the UK. So it was really exciting to be part of that first wave of innovation and be bringing, for me, it was really simple. How do we get better options that are alternatives to alcohol to the masses? And I wanted to, you know, one of the pillars quite early on was accessibility. And so it's why we went into supermarkets quite early. So we went into our first big retailer, I think 2 or 3 months after launching, which was Sainsbury's.
What was that moment like? Sorry to interrupt you there, but when, you know, you've got this, you're in your pub in Bristol and you're thinking, there's something missing here. I want a really nice drink and this is what I'm going to do. And then you get an order from Sainsbury's. What was that like?
Yeah, well, I take a step back. So I'd actually been, I think it was July 2018, and I'd been sampling at Club Soda's Mindful Drinking Festival in Spitalfields Market. And I remember I had about 20 bottles with me. I'd roped a friend in to help me. I didn't have anything to sell. Literally, those 20 bottles were just for sampling. And I'd bottled them myself. I'd labeled them and everything, you know, developed the recipe up to that point. I was pretty happy with it. I'd gone in, literally, I would walk around Bristol and London and go into bars and restaurants and get them to try it. And then I'd use their feedback and I would go and make it better. So I was happy with it at that point. I wanted to get it in front of consumers to try it and get some feedback. And I remember someone coming up to me who said he was from Sainsbury's saying, you know, this is a space that we're really interested in. That's why he was there sampling different alcohol-free products. He really liked the brand and the taste, and that he would email me on Monday. And I remember being really skeptical and thinking, like, does this happen? Like, this is weird. Do people from Sainsbury's just rock up and email you? But he did. He got in touch. And, you know, after a little back and forth, he then introduced me to the buyer, the drinks buyer at the time. And, you know, retail today, and, you know, you go into a supermarket, whether it's Sainsbury's, Asda, Tesco, many other supermarkets available, they have a dedicated area for alcohol-free drinks now. Now, that didn't really exist back in 2017, 2018. Or if it did, it was very, very limited. And so Sainsbury's right at the time was looking to actually expand the range. You know, people were starting to cotton on that actually we think there's a trend here. We see people being a lot healthier, wanting to cut back on alcohol. So it was the start of that change. And I think it was good fortune, good timing. She really liked the brand and the taste and the product. And so I got the opportunity to go into 500 stores. Now, at the time, I hadn't even done my first 1,000 bottles. I was still like blending and bottling in my bedroom, I think.
That's
one of my bedrooms in my house. So I sort of said yes. And then we kind of went from there and managed to get, it was about 6,000 bottles I had to get for the first order. And I remember going into store and seeing it on shelf and just feeling in awe of the fact that something I'd thought up was actually on shelf in a major supermarket nationally. So cool. That was a really pivotal moment for me in the business.
Ellie, we've got one of our community members, Jules, and she runs she's got a hummus brand. And I get excited when I see her hummus in Sainsbury's. Like, so to imagine seeing something that you've made in there, it just must be mind-blowing.
Yeah, it is. It's really exciting, I think. And also, there's a lot of work that leads up to getting it on shelf that, you know, people don't always see behind the scenes. And there was a lot of things that went wrong along the way, you know, definitely cried a few times, and I'm not a crier really. So yeah, I think that's it. It is the blood, sweat and tears and everything that you put into to making it happen. But, you know, I still get messages from people. In fact, I had one the other day from someone in America who said, I've been drinking your drinks. Me and my husband, we work in the army. It's completely changed our life. We used to drink a lot. We now don't. And she literally invited me to her bachelorette party. She said, we love you.
That's amazing.
So you've changed our lives so much. I want you to come out. And I was just in awe that, and I've had loads of those sort of messages over the years. And it's great to still get them because it shows how much, you know, wherever someone is on their journey, whether they do drink alcohol-free alternatives, whether they don't. And, you know, at some stage that can be really helpful and useful. And if I've been able to be some part of that with my brand and help them, then it's just amazing.
It's massively about choice, isn't it? And it's really interesting what you're saying. So I can go back to, I think, the first time I ever went to a bar and ordered an alcohol-free drink. And it was in the October of 2018, Ellie. So just as you're getting everything, you know, ready behind the scenes to launch your brand, I was standing at a bar at a really nice hotel in Lancashire. And it was my nephew's christening. And I said, and bear in mind at this stage, I'd only just stopped drinking. And so everything was still really unusual, really weird. I was a little bit agitated and all the rest of it. And I went to the bar and I said, what have you got that's alcohol free? And he looked at me as if to go, oh God, here we go. He didn't say water, but he did bring out a bottle of Caliber, which is, it was the only, I mean, Caliber.
Blew
the dust off it. Yeah, it came from the vaults. It wasn't chilled. It was horrendous. And I thought, oh God, is this going to be it? Caliber, Diet Cokes and fruit shoots, you know, for the rest of my boring, sober life on this planet. No, because not too long after that, it all changed. And there is nothing like, and again, you know, disclaimer, they're not for everybody, but if it helps you on your journey, and if you are going out at night or in the day or whatever you're doing, and you go to a bar and you can see a mindful drinks menu, an alcohol-free drinks menu, a standard drinks menu. If you've got that choice, that is such a key moment for so many people where they can go, actually, I'm all right tonight. I'm covered. And I think that's fantastic that you're part of that.
Yeah, I do think it's about feeling more, for me, it's about feeling more included if you want to. And there's some people are perfectly happy to kind of sit there and not, you know, not drink anything. But if you want to be part of the round, if you want, you know, if you've got a particular drink that you like, that you just want an alcohol-free version of it, or, you know, some people end up drinking that night, there's so many reasons. You know, I was pregnant a year ago, more now, and obviously not drinking either. So it's just so many reasons why you may want to have an alcohol-free option. And for me, it was just about choice. Like in 2017, there really wasn't choice available for you. And yet, and also what really annoyed me was the fact that they made you feel like a second class citizen if you asked for anything other than alcohol, which again, I felt like that attitude wasn't aligned with where we were at that point in time, where people were, you know, starting to eat healthier, create healthier habits. There's so much information available online now about how you can eat better, look after yourself. COVID was a big one in terms of mental well-being. We saw, you know, personally from a business perspective, we saw a lot of people switching from alcohol to alcohol free because then they were stuck at home and there was that temptation to drink all the time. And people didn't want to drink all the time. They felt it was too much. So yeah, I just think there's so many reasons why.
Okay, right, let's get honest now, because I just want to ask, are we biased? Because are we talking in an echo chamber here, Shaz and Ellie? Because you make alcohol-free drinks, Ellie. We drink alcohol-free drinks. I've got a post here from our forum. It's a guy called Niall. He's a fabulous guy. And I'll just read out some of what he said in this post. It was called Funny Barman. He said, I had a lovely day out with my brother and cousin in Derry yesterday. I had no idea that it was such a cool and fun place. The first bar we visited was an old school men's sports bar with horse racing on every screen. When I ordered my Guinness Zero, the barman joked, do you want a colouring book and some crayons with that? I know some people might be offended by such a question, but it really is just Northern Irish humour. I didn't take offence. Instead, I looked him straight in the eye with a very serious face and replied, you can give me a real one if you want, but I might set fire to your pub. Great response. to which the barman apparently laughed and appreciated the comeback. But, you know, it's great to talk about how things are changing and moving forwards and how actually when you started this in 2019, there were no other options and Chaz was drinking Calibre. But actually, you know, is this because we're in this world? Is it really, is my question. Is it really moving on? Will it ever really fully get there?
I mean, I come at it from having had one foot in the alcohol camp in my early career. So, and I can remember speaking to the spirits buyer. This is someone whose sole job it is to buy alcohol. And even she'd gone alcohol free for a period. And I remember thinking, so this is probably the most hardcore person in alcohol you're going to get, because they literally try drinks for a living. And if even they can get on board with this and try alcohol-free drinks and go alcohol-free for a period, then it just signaled to me this is not just for one group of people only. And I really, really have seen attitudes change. Like I said, I was going into bars and restaurants, and I think late 2017, early 2018, speaking to people with early samples of Kalenia and getting them, and they'd be like, what the hell's an alcohol-free spirit? Like, what is that? And you'd explain it to them and they got it. Whereas now, you know, you can ask for an alcohol-free G&T or whatever it might be, and they'll most likely have it on menu, if not have a, have some kind of bottle behind the bar. And I think the acceptability has changed a lot, and attitudes have changed a lot. Of course, you get the odd person who's still a skeptic, but I personally have seen attitudes change quite dramatically over time. And I think if you don't have a more inclusive view when it comes to drinking, I think that is, you know, ripe for judgment. I think, you know, you do need to think, and it still annoys me when I go to awards dues on a Monday night and they're just serving alcohol and the table's full of wine and everything else. It's like, well, does everyone want to drink on a Monday night? I don't think so. Most of us have got, you know, the week to get on with. And it does annoy me when I know how many options are. Like we spoke earlier, there are so many alcohol-free spirits, wines, beers now available, that it's, if you're not doing that and you're not creating an inclusive drinks menu, then you're choosing not to, because it's so easy now.
That's a very interesting perspective on it. Okay, sticking with the pub angle. Whenever we mention Dry January, Ellie, we must say hello to our friends at Alcohol Change UK. Hello, guys. We know that Dry January is yours. Have I ticked that box, Shaz? Have I ticked the... Yeah,
ticked.
Yeah.
Box ticked. Done
we
it.
We love our
done
friends it. At Alcohol done Change it. UK. But when people do Dry January, you often get the stories that come out in the press. The pub landlords, oh, God, it damages people who are doing Dry January. God, wish they wouldn't do that. It damages the trade. What would you say to those people who are sceptical of something like Dry January, where, you know, we're encouraged to try a period off?
So, yeah, I would say there were a lot of those people in the early days who were, you know, openly negative towards Dry January and alcohol free. I do think now they've come to the realization that just generally less people want to go out in January, even people who are drinking alcohol, because it costs a lot of money and everyone's broke after Christmas, they spent too much. So I think now it's switched, and they see alcohol free as an opportunity to get people in to their pubs and bars.
Okay.
And off the sofa, off the couch watching Netflix or whatever it might be. So I have definitely seen now, I mean, I never had so many meetings in January as I did this January. Everyone wants to talk to you in January because it's quiet. And they're like, oh, alcohol free, great. I'll book a meeting with these guys. You know, it's a hot topic. I do think that attitude has changed. I'm not saying there's not people out there that still don't hate on Dry January. I think as a month, it is a good window and it's a good introduction to alcohol-free drinks for a lot of people, and to sobriety, perhaps taking time off. If you can do a month, maybe you can do two, maybe you can do three, and therefore longer. And you realize, oh, actually, it's not that difficult. I quite enjoy it. I feel better. I feel healthier in myself. I'm sleeping better. There's so many positive benefits that often get talked about. So I do think it's an important window for people to try. But as far as the trade goes, I think they've come a long way, and I think they are quite receptive now. The one thing, though, I have desperately trying to get them to do is just plan earlier, because sometimes you get them, because November, December is so busy with, you know, parties and festivities and all that. Generally, they kind of come knocking at your door like beginning 1st, 2nd, 3rd of January, whenever it might be, like, it's too late, guys.
Yeah, a bit of an afterthought.
Yeah, it's too late, you know.
Sainsbury's have got it all. I've got none left. I've sent thousands of cans to Over the Influence and they've got none left.
Yeah, they've got it all.
Yeah, exactly. So I think good planning when it comes to trade, I think, you know, start planning it in, you know, October if you can.
Feel like Shaz, I know you want to jump in. Should we do a quick shout out to, we know that 1 in 4 people who listen to this podcast are in Australia and New Zealand. So shout out to our Aussie and Kiwi friends who are about to be celebrating Dry July over there. Because obviously it's flipped.
Dry July is another big one. Yeah.
Dry January, Dry July over there. So, you know, if you're sober curious and you're, you know, listening in Melbourne or other Australian / New Zealand places, give
test
it a go.
Ben's geography.
Order some Kalenia. You know, why not?
Kalenia is available. Shaz.
There you go.
Australia. So there you go.
Right. I want to know how you actually make it. So, you know, you hear of alcohol-free beer or de-alcohol. I can't even say the word.
I believe in you.
Right, hang on, let me try it. Yeah. Take a run up at this.
Broadcaster.
So you've got alcohol-free drinks. Yeah, I do this for a living professionally every single day of my life. Alcohol-free drinks or wine that is D-alco. Oh, my God. For a third time, de-alcoholized. She said it. Stop laughing.
De-alcoholized.
De-alcoholized. I don't even know. Is that the term? I have no idea. Ellie, help me out. What's the process then? Where do you start?
There's so many different ways to do it. And you can create a fully alcoholic product and then remove the alcohol. With Clenio, the way we make Clenio, we actually don't create a fully alcoholic product and then remove the alcohol. We focus on extracting the flavor from the very beginning. So we use a distillation process, which is not overly dissimilar to how spirits are made in terms of we still use a still and we use raw botanical ingredients. So light and zesty, we're using things like papaya, inkberry, lemons, green cardamom. And then in dark and spicy, we're using things like ginger, pineapple, coconut, black cardamom. So we still use raw ingredients and we have a two-day distillation process. So we gently distill all of the ingredients. That's then passed through a still and we collect what's left at the end of those 2 days. And that forms basically the basis of the liquid. And that then is matured for another 2 weeks to really allow the flavors time to bed in. And then we take it to our bottlers for kind of final blending and bottling. So it's, I guess the only, with alcohol, you are effectively passing, you're creating alcohol and you're passing the ingredients through the ethanol to flavor it, create it. We're just not using that kind of alcoholic process. Because it's not to bash any other routes, but I kind of thought making a fully alcoholic product, what's the point? Because it's an alcoholic product at the end of it. But I do understand some people may argue in different categories, you get a stronger tasting product and things like that. But we focus on extracting the flavor from the ingredients from the very start, as opposed to removing the alcohol later down the line.
It's so interesting, isn't it? Because it's very scientific. You've said that you come from a kind of marketing.
Yeah.
Like where do you even start as someone in your seat going, I really want to do this because of this. I can see this market. I've got this idea for a brand and I'd love it to kind of be fun and party and music. But actually, where do you start making the thing? You might go, well, actually, I do have several degrees in chemistry.
No, absolutely not. I don't. I didn't really enjoy science, and I'm certainly not. I'm definitely more creatively minded. But I found the journey of making Kalenia really interesting, and I enjoyed getting into it. So I did order a load of botanicals online, and I did start experimenting in my kitchen, literally with a saucepan and heat. And I was like, I'm going to be here for years because I haven't got a freaking clue what I'm doing. I was doing lots of research and how do I, you know, trying different methods. And I was like, I'm going to be here for ages. And so I ended up finding someone local to me who had knowledge in terms of creating drinks. She hadn't done too much in the non-alcoholic, like this was a new, I think we were both on this journey together. And I kind of talked to her about what I wanted to create. I knew what ingredients I wanted. I kind of had the vision in my head, but I needed someone with the technical know-how because, you know, you've got to be careful with, you know, alcoholic drinks are, I would say, relatively unregulated. Like you don't have, in the sense of you don't have to state calories, ingredients. There's, you know, it's crazy when you think about it. Whereas non-alcoholic drinks, you have to put everything on there. Calories, ingredients. But honestly, next time you're walking down the aisle, look up behind a bottle of alcohol and you will see.
I did not know this. Genuinely, Ben, did you? I didn't have a clue.
No, I don't think I did. I suppose it's because I don't really...
Well, it's a little known secret that the alcohol industry don't really want you to focus too much on.
How about that?
So they don't have to. So if you were to pick up a bottle of beer, I can think now, you know, if there's one in the fridge that belongs to somebody else, it would show the calories in that.
Beer might. I don't think.
So are you talking specifically spirits?
I don't know if they are required to. If they've put it on there, then they're doing it out of their own choice. Oh,
that's really.
But they're not legally required to.
Okay.
Why? Why is that, Ellie?
Let's just say the government make a lot of money from alcohol, and the government create regulation. So it's not too dissimilar to the tobacco industry. If you think about the tobacco industry, the government made a lot of money from the tobacco industry, and that was really unregulated for a while. So, I mean, I won't get too into it, but yeah, there are rules that apply to non-alcoholic products that do not apply to alcoholic products. Let's say that.
I kind of want to get into it a bit more. I kind of want. Just because I'm just thinking of the, like, you know, surely the costs of alcohol, and we're just talking here purely, this is not kind of opinion, but just in terms of blue light services, let's say, the cost to society of the policing drunken town centres on a Saturday night, or the additional impact in A&E, or the additional impact in other wards because of alcohol-related illnesses. Surely it costs a lot of money, alcohol.
Yeah, well, to be honest, and this is where the tipping point will be, and I think this is why, sorry to keep bringing it back to tobacco, but it's the best example I've got. At some point, there will become a tipping point where the government go, oh, actually, it's costing us more money from an NHS perspective with people who are alcohol dependent and all of the issues that come with alcoholism and alcohol-related issues. They will realise that's costing us more money than we're getting from the alcohol beverage companies and the money we get from that. And that will be the tipping point. And so that's why certain things get left alone and are relatively unregulated.
Very diplomatic answers there, Ellie, I have to say. Well crafted, composed, well thought through answers.
Yeah, well, I mean, so I guess back to the point, yeah. I mean, when it came to creating the drink, I needed someone to help me on that journey. So we kind of went on it together and created it together, which was a big help. And I learned a lot about how to create this sort of drink. And we're just kind of figuring it out. Like there wasn't a lot of literature out there available. It hadn't really been done before. So there was a lot of trial and error. It took about 2 years to get to something decent. I was pretty adamant I wasn't going to put anything out into the market that wasn't great, and that I wouldn't be happy to put my name on and say this is decent enough to go into a supermarket, because the last thing you want is spend all that time developing someone tries it and goes, oh, well, that tastes a bit rubbish.
They're only going to try it once, aren't they?
Yeah, they're going to try it once and then they won't come back. So you know you can't please everyone, but I don't think we'd still be here today if people didn't like the product. So yeah, worked really hard on that.
Well, we did, didn't we, Shaz?
Well, actually, you speak for yourself, because I didn't get any of those.
No, you haven't tried it yet. I've still got some left.
No, I haven't.
Don't worry. The pina colada one for me was my favourite. I really like that.
That is a popular one.
The mojito one went down very well with, and I hope this is all right, Ellie, there were some left in the car after Snowden. And so maybe use them at a garden party for my brother and his fiance, who were announcing the gender of their baby. And she said that the mojito one was like drinking a normal mojito for her, which was, you know, really
amazing. Yeah, amazing. Yeah. No, I mean, get them out there. We're just launching those two, mojito and the pina colada cans, in America, where RTDs are like big over there. They're massive. They're big here, but they're not quite as big. So that's going to be really exciting.
That must be. That sounds massive.
Yeah, so we are, well, we're national with a chain called Total Wines & More, and they're a beer and wine spirit specialist, but they've recently started to put in alcohol-free. So we've got both our Colonial bottles in there, and we're going to be launching our cans as well, which is great, because I mean, the reason we developed the cans in the first place is because I wanted to make drinking alcohol-free cocktails more accessible. Because cocktail, you know, if you buy the bottle, unless you're going to do a simple drink like light and zesty, you can mix with tonic, you know, over ice, simple is what I've been drinking here. And dark and spicy, you can just mix with ginger ale, maybe a bit of lime if you're feeling fancy. really simple drinks. You can also use both of them to create cocktails, like dark and spicy you can use to make a mojito, a daiquiri. But there are some people who would just rather pick up a can, open it up and have a ready-made cocktail. Yeah. And so I was like, we've got to create that. And so, yeah, we developed the cans and have just been slowly kind of getting them out there into people's hands. I think also it's also for me a price point thing. You know, it's buying a bottle of Kalenia, I think we're probably £18 price point in most supermarkets. A can is a much more affordable way of having that single cocktail, a little bit like if you pick up a bottle of beer. So yeah, that again, going back to that accessibility piece, it was just how can we make alcohol-free cocktails more accessible to the masses?
Elliot, I'm just going to let you know here, we've got Gretchen, one of our community members, on the call, and she's put, yes, there's a Total Wine store near me in Massachusetts. How fantastic is that?
Amazing. Good to hear it, yeah. No, cans coming to a Total Wines and More store near you.
Ellie, we haven't got loads of time left. This has absolutely flown, by the way. I've really enjoyed talking about all this stuff. I just want to ask, what are your hopes and dreams for Kalenia?
Hopes and dreams. I think, when I started this journey, I was like, if I can walk into a bar or restaurant and just, I mean, it wouldn't even have to be, I think for me, it's about bringing up the industry. But personally, if I could see a bottle of Kalenia on a supermarket I walk into and a bar, like I still get people now WhatsApping me and be like, I'm up in Liverpool, I'm up in Manchester, or I'm in London, and you know, they've seen a bottle of Kalenia somewhere. I got a video the other day from someone in Dubai and they saw Kalenia on the menu and I sat next to her at an awards do. And it's just like, I think for me it was like just getting it out there and making alcohol-free drinks more accessible to more people, so that they've simply got another choice. I can remember when I did work in the alcohol industry, a lot of the time thinking, I don't actually want to drink alcohol, but I'm drinking it because I don't feel like I have another choice, which is a really stupid reason to drink alcohol. So for me, it's always been about that. So I think basically more of that. More Kalenia everywhere. Well done, and all that. Why not?
I like that. More Kalenia everywhere.
Everywhere.
Simple.
Yeah, if we can sort that out in the next year or so, that'd be great.
I've really enjoyed that, Ben. I agree. I concur with what you say. Ellie, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. Before you go, there might be somebody listening now thinking, right, where do I start? How do I start making the cocktails that you've spoken about? Where do I get my hands on it? Where's all the information, Ellie?
So if you want instructions, information on how to make your very own Kalenia cocktail, I mean, you can make all of the favourites, passion fruit martini, mojito, pina colada, simple G&T, you name it. We've got all of the options covered. So you just need to go to kaleniadrinks.com. You can also find us on Instagram, TikTok, just as Kalenia Drinks, and we often post recipe inspiration on there. But if you are out and about, supermarket, doing your online order, you can find us on Amazon, Ocado, Asda, Sainsbury's and Waitrose. So that's if you're in the UK. And we're also available worldwide. I won't name everywhere, but if you do a quick Google search, you'll probably find us.
Oh, I'm just on the website now, Ellie. As seen on This Morning, Steph's Packed Lunch, Sunday Brunch, Saturday Kitchen Live, and now, of course,
we love a TV appearance. We love it.
So good.
Hey, never mind that. Get flipping OTI podcast logo on there.
Scroll down more. Available in Sainsbury's, as we've already discussed. Asda. Oh, Shaz will like this one. Waitrose. It's doing so well, Ellie. It's so good to see it doing so incredibly well. And I'm going to have a look at some of these cocktail recipes now. Thanks for the tip.
Ellie, thank you. And before we go, I just want to say I love the fact that throughout the course of this chat, you've been sitting there chatting to us, looking fantastic, by the way, as a new mum. Congratulations on that. Sipping away on one of your own drinks, which I think is brilliant.
Cheers.
Ellie, thank you.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. It's been an absolute pleasure.